Hello and welcome to the Redockables, episode 7. One of probably Oz. Where do you rank this in terms of Dockers matches? Memorable Dockers matches.
I rank it up there as
like
being
top five.
Probably the epitome of the most Dockery of Docker games.
It is. It's the number one Dockery game, yeah. Isn't it?
It's the apex.
The siren, not to sound, for us to technically win the game, I think it ends up being 3 days or 4 days later, and they have to change the rule.
Yeah.
And the fact that, and we'll go into this in the Dockery, that draw costs Grant Thomas his job.
Yes.
Or the draw getting turned into a loss.
Yes.
For a win for the Dockers. Cost Grant Thomas his job, pretty much. Cost the Dockers a derby final, which they, you could argue, could have won, considering they beat West Coast by a fair margin. Maybe potentially cost Chris Connolly's job, because, you're telling me?
Yeah.
Mate, flag.
Yeah.
06, mate. And just really makes me think about Tasmania, mate. And I've got a hot take.
Oh, yeah.
On Tasmania.
Yeah.
And I know you've got a bit of a hot take on Victoria, mate.
I have a hot take.
But, guys, just to let you know, just to timestamp this a bit, obviously, footy's coming back. June 11th. Oz, you're a bit skeptical. You don't know what's going to happen.
I'm hopeful but skeptical.
Three active cases in all of Western Australia. How the hub's not here, mate? Why are we going anywhere where there's like cases getting added? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Do I do my hot take now?
You do your hot take now, mate.
Mate, let me do my hot take now.
It's about Victorians.
It's about Victorians, mate. And you know what?
Yeah,
Duck. I'm sick of this, and I'm sick of this. I'm sick of WA for the most part being laughed out because we complain about the Victorians. This is a serious health issue, and we still are faced with the Vic-centric mentality that everything has to originate out of Victoria. Before the actual decision was made, there were a number of players within the AFL Players Association that did not want to move their families, thought it was unfair, did not agree with creating a hub. Those players were from Victoria.
Mm.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but last time I checked, Western Australia in particular, South Australia included, have reduced their active cases and new cases ridiculously low.
Squash
to make it,
mate,
very possible for the hubs to exist, where families could have come over, where they could have actually gone out.
Yeah.
Helped everyone in question.
Mate. Oz.
Ridiculous.
Did you go to the shops and stuff like that?
Yes, I did.
Mate, it was business as usual.
Yes, it
like
was.
Like nothing different.
No.
So I'm set to go to a pub tomorrow night. I know the rules are different.
Yes.
That, you know, you got to order some food with your beers. So it's one packet of chips and 16 pints, please.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's, mate, there was 6 new cases in Victoria.
Yeah.
That's double the amount of cases we have in West Australia at the moment.
I'm glad you said that, mate, because this is my hot take. The hot take is this. The players, of course, in Victoria were happy because they get to stay home. The power brokers, again, get what they want. Your Eddies and so forth. They get what they want because they don't want to travel. You know, they're so afraid of doing something different. Mm. This was the opportunity for a South Australian AFL CEO in Gil McLachlan. He's not Victorian.
Yeah.
He's from South Australia.
Yep.
He could have actually taken the reins. He had taken the lead.
Hang on, Oz. What about the president of the AFL,
who
is from Tambler, mate?
Yeah, come on.
Richard Goyder.
Come on.
Where's the WA
now
power?
The thing that gets on my goat, Duck,
is
that it's okay to go ahead and shaft the WA teams and the South Australian teams because they're playing in hubs. Again, those hubs are safer than being in Victoria.
Yeah.
So what I don't think they understand is, you know, they believe that they can play and save footy in Victoria, the VFL. That's all great. It's likely to shut down because morons over there can't actually adhere to the social distancing. You've got clusters that are still occurring over there, and it's likely that it's because of a Victorian team that this whole competition could shut down. WA teams are doing the righty. South Australian teams are doing the righty. In Queensland, from what I understand, those teams are doing the righty. And whilst you can say that the players in Victoria are trying to do their best, they are still exposed to a climate where they cannot control COVID.
Yeah.
And yet we are still faced with this Vic-centric view that we have to displace Western Australian, South Australian teams because they don't want to shift over and lose any competitive advantage in the competition.
Oz,
are you kidding me?
Mate, I think this is well, and that is that's a prime time Oz rant. But if you just think about the geography and the makeup of Melbourne, it's narrow streets.
Yes.
It's little cafes. The coffee's so good over there. But it's high rise, narrow streets, you know, little columns. Mate,
it's got Black Plague written all over it.
Come to WA. Mate, we are so spread out. You know, like, Oz, this is the thing, is like we are now Western Australia are a world leader in coronavirus.
That's it.
Mate, we have squashed this thing. We've got three cases. That's it. Three. Mate, three cases. That is the whole amount in Western Australia at the moment. There is nothing to me that says you couldn't actually have, Oz, you could not actually have full competition in Western Australia with spectators.
Mm.
You know? Like, with spectators, hard border, footy, bring them all over, mate. Test them all. Put them in quarantine for two weeks. Keep testing them every day. Test them.
Yep.
No signs. Have the whole competition here, mate.
Yep.
Do it. Do it and just, you could run the whole competition. You could just get it done. There's no travel, so you could probably play games over 5-day breaks, 6-day breaks. You know, you could have two games a day, easy peasy, Thursday, two games Friday. And the thing is as well, which is unique about Western Australia, you could play games at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's 6 o'clock over in the eastern states, mate. You know, like, it's just, it's a frustration, mate. And, you know, the thing came out a while ago about the Premier League being played in Perth. I mean, mate, if I was a big sporting, a big sporting organisation and I'm trying to get my sport up, because all that matters really is TV numbers. Like, people talk, oh, I'll be bad without the crowd. All that matters is TV numbers, mate. You're telling me people won't watch? Like, maybe if the A-League had some gumption and they're like, look, we're going to move everyone to WA.
Mm.
2-week quarantine, we'll start again, mate. Because people are desperate for sport.
Oh, boy.
Look how many people watch the bloody Bundesliga on the weekend. Mate. People giving me some bloody Bundesliga tips.
Yep.
I'm like, mate, not interested. Okay? But I was kind of interested. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Because of sport, mate.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Oz, that's a good rant. And I've got a rant coming up, guys, about Tasmania. But anyway, look, into the Redockables episode, the Siren Gate. Down in York Park, round 5, 2006.
Summary, here it comes.
30th of April, 15,000 fans. Let's get the 1 minute to win it, Oz. All right, so the Dockers burst out of the blocks, kicking into the breeze, kick a couple of goals. At one stage in the third quarter, the Dockers are up by 33 points in the third quarter, Oz. Led by Pav's 6th goal, Jake Train then loses the plot, mate, and goes absolutely mental. Triple 50-meter penalty, which leads to the goal that Johnson kicks that puts us 33 points up. J-Train and Revolt both get dragged, and St. Kilda somehow fight back. 7 goals to 2 run St. Kilda go on. But the siren goes, but does it? The game keeps going. Baker has a shot for goal. Gilmore then pushes into his back, so he gets another shot. No one knows what's going on. Connolly runs onto the field, and on the 3rd of May, Oz, 4 days later, the Dockers are awarded the win. That's it. I don't know how long that was.
That was close, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was close.
But that's pretty much a summary. But, I mean, the turning and it's I have to look up because I did write the quote that Dennis Cometti had. And, mate, I tell you what, the best thing about watching these old Dockers games is 24-7 Dennis
Cometti.
Every game has been commentated by Dennis Cometti. One, he knows every player.
Yes.
Two, he knows what club they came from. Yes. Three, he knows their strengths and weaknesses. And four, mate, he actually goes a little bit for the Dockers.
I know.
He's got a soft spot. But Dennis Cometti said this in the third quarter. Only Dockers could lose by driving all the opposition stars off the ground. That's what he says, mate.
Yep.
So, you know, look, the Dockers, ugh, mate. What, you know where... how many games we've won down in Tasmania, mate?
Oh, this would be one.
This is our one and only, mate. 1-12. So we've played there the third most, or the equal second most.
Yeah.
After Hawthorn, I think he played about 40 games down there. We've played 20-odd, or 12, sorry. And so, oh, no, St. Kilda played about 20, and we've played 12. And we're 1-12.
Are you going to do your rant now or later?
We'll save it for later. We'll save it for the Docker at the end, mate. Oz, can you go through the teams for
I'll
us,
go through
mate?
The teams. Yeah, okay. So starting with the mighty Fremantle Dockers. You know what? I'm going to play a little bit of the Frio old song here.
Oh, yeah.
Although I'm not sure if we did the crossover at this stage. No, I don't think we did. Did we?
I can't remember. Good, mate.
Yeah. Anyway. Peter Bell, Heath Black, Josh Carr, Matthew Carr, Troy Cook, Ryan Crowley, Stephen Dodd, Paul Duffman Duffield, Jeff Purple Jesus Farmer, Daniel Gilmore, Anthony Grover, Des Headland, Michael Jono Johnson, Shawnee Mack, Luke McFarlane, David Mundy, The Rising Star, Shane Parker, Matthew Pavlich, Graham Tram Polak, Aaron Sanderlands, Byron Shammer, and Scott the Vampire Thornton. In what was a Dockery Docker game.
You cannot call Polak the tram.
Well, he could just run through people, mate.
Mate, oh, cool. That's terrible. Mate, what a team. Good team. Good side.
Yeah, look, good side.
And, you know, a lot of guys who'd played over 100 games, three guys who'd played over 200 games, fairly experienced, about the same average games as St. Kilda, same average age, you know. And, you know, one team was kind of like a middle-of-the-range team in the Dockers, and St. Kilda were kind of like another premiership favourite again. But, shall we get into the GBU of the game, mate? Because I've got a couple of good things.
Okay, here we go. Yep, go.
Mate, starting off with a good and bouncing off your chat from last week's episode in the J-Lo game, Pav is dominant with 6 goals, 21 disposals and 7 marks, mate. And young Nicky Revolt, mate, has an absolute stinker on a guy who's played 16 games in Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
Now, I know Michael Johnson would become, you know, MJ, legendary, you know, one of the greats for the Dockers. But
Hall of Fame.
But, mate, I tell you what. You got Revolt playing on a 16-year-old. You got bloody Pavlich out there getting 3 Brownlow votes. Again.
8 million touches.
Mate. And Revolt gets dragged. You kidding me, mate? You kidding me? There's an actual discussion?
Yeah,
and how many touches does Milne get, mate? Compared to Wiz.
Yeah.
Exactly. Shammer, solid off the halfback
flank. Yeah, Shamwell did real well.
Don't know why he was kicking out, mate. Another asterisk against Chris
Conley. Well, especially when you've got the Duff man, which surprised
me. Well, first game, so.
Doesn't matter, mate.
Duff's very solid in debut.
Oh, yeah.
Very solid in debut. And, you know, you look back and you go, man, Duff, mate, you could see he had just a bit of poise about him. Johnson, very much poise about him. You remember that Roger Hayden would come into the side and end up playing in the prelim team as well, mate. Desi Headland, man, in the half forward. Position to play.
Hard position, but
good.
But yeah.
Yeah, good Desi. Goodbye, Desi. And, you know, I think the problem with Desi is that maybe they tried to get him a bit too. I don't know who our strength and fitness dude is at this stage, but it seems like his goal is anyone who's skinny, get him as big as possible and slow him down, because old Desi slowed down a bit, and his pace and his skills were pretty elite. And, mate, I would love to have someone like Desi in our team now, mate, with that lovely left foot.
Yes.
Wiz, 3 goals, mate.
Oh.
Got to talk about it, mate. Wiz, great.
Can we talk about Wiz for a second?
Yeah.
Purple Jesus.
Yeah, he's solid. He'd cut the hair.
Yeah, that was the one thing that disappointed me, because I thought he really, to me, he really was Purple Jesus a year before because of the long hair. But you've talked about it numerous times. I know you've got a bias towards the Tamble Up man and all that. But his uncanny ability to kick goals from, you know, 1% opportunities is the reason why he's going to be regarded as one of the greats.
Yeah.
Because his skill and nous around the ball, knowing where the drop of the ball was going to be, just snapping it over his shoulder. Yeah.
Snap one over his shoulder, bread and butter. Mate, you know what my favourite type of whiz go is actually?
Yeah, go.
Is when someone's running towards him and he kicks it over there. Like, he like does a little, it's like a little drop punt, but he kicks it like really high and over someone's head. That gets me. I'm like, oh, yeah, classic Wiz. Someone's running at him. He's like, poof.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because Stevie Baker did such a good job on him the game before.
Yes.
Like, because you got to remember, guys, the J-Lo game is only, like, it's round 21 of the year before. So it's not that long ago, really. I know it's obviously in time it is, but in terms of games, it's only about 6 or 7 games,
yep,
you know, including the final. So it's not that long ago. So you wonder why Baker doesn't go to him and just stick to him. But maybe he was on him a bit, but, you know, you wonder that. Grover, mate, killed the G-Train, so much so that the G-Train had to go off.
Derailed.
Mate, very good by you, Oz. Derailed the G-Train. Again, some interesting coaching decisions to keep Grover on Brett Voss, who took him to the cleaners. Scotty Thornton, mate, the vampire, Scotty T, super underrated, mate. He ends up breaking his leg, I think, about 2 games later.
Right.
Didn't realise he came back and actually played 3 full seasons in 2007, 8, and 9. Okay. So I didn't realise he played in 2009.
Yeah,
I thought he was gone by then, but I think that's right, 7, 8. And, yeah, he breaks his leg, he's out for the pretty, and then he plays about 13, 15, and 16 games respectively in all those other seasons. But, mate, Scotty T, what could have been, you know? And when you think about how old he was, and, you know, he's right in that wheelhouse, and, mate, cool under pressure, solid head, good skills, good marking ability. You know, you could see that he went with Revolt at one stage in the last game.
Yep.
You know, he can play small, he can play tall, he can play on someone who can run a bit, you know. So, Scotty T, mate, very unlucky to get the Crones and the broken leg, mate.
Well, they probably tried to put some weight on him, but obviously because of that underlying health issue was quite difficult. But had he have been able to put a little bit more weight on and continue, I think he could have been one of those, you know, Johnson type stalwarts for the club, because he just looked great. Ball in hand, mate, looked very good, composed.
And I said Duff very solid on the debut. Just to the bad, mate, giving up a 33-point lead. And up by 22 points in the last quarter, kicking with this breeze that it seemed like a bit of a gale. Did you have any other goods, mate?
No, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Cat 10 goals in the first quarter. Peter Bell turns it straight over, Cat 10. Grover turns it straight over, like just lets the ball slip through his hands, and that's their the goals they kick in the first quarter. Mate, the coaching, I said, Grover stayed on Voss. Polak playing forward ruck, which he's just completely out of position. And we said, like, you look at Polak and you go, this guy knows how to defend. He knows how to intercept mark. He's not great with the ball.
Yep.
So that to me says maybe he can't play forward. He doesn't have that instincts. But I guess that intercept mark, you could say, oh, well, maybe he might be an all right forward. But completely lost. Just. And I know J-Lo was a late withdrawal, but the Cook came in. But Polak, mate, and they brought in they had quite a big side that they played.
Yes.
There. But Polak and McFarlane are both playing forward again. You know, McFarlane forward, like I said, mate, I want to talk about a guy who's a very famous docker in the fact that he's the face of the Dockers in Melbourne.
Yes.
And this is how much the Melbourne people respect the Dockers, is that they've got Gilmore Gills, a.k.a. Happy, a.k.a. Daniel Gilmore, a.k.a. Thomas Middleditch, mate. Have you ever had a look at Thomas Middleditch before? A lot of Gilmore about him. Mate, in the last minute, this is what Gilmore does. He kicks the ball directly to the opposition when all we have to do is hang on to the ball and we win. Kicks the ball directly to the opposition. I think it's Hayes. Hayes hand passes Montagna. Montagna kicks a goal. Then he misses a punch. Like, the ball comes to him and he goes third man up and completely fresh airs it. Then he's the one who pushes Baker in the back, so he has another shot. Now, if you think, Oz, Baker goes back, kicks the goal, does the AFL reverse the decision? Because it goes from 2 points to 4 points. And if Baker kicks a goal, it goes from it's an 8-point flip.
Yeah.
You know, so does that get reversed? Now, I know that the AFL hated Grant Thomas, so potentially it was always going to get reversed because they just hated St. Kilda and they hated Grant Thomas in particular. But does that result? That's too controversial to flip it, in my opinion. So Gilmore's last minute melt is just, and you kind of understand why he kicks a lovely goal. Like, he looked like he should have been a half forward, not a half back. You got Polak and bloody thing in the forward line, McFarlane in the forward line, and you got Gilmore in the back line, just like,
mate, we're
absolutely melting.
I think, and you've mentioned it, we were 7 points up with less than a minute to go.
Yeah, and they have three shots on goal, mate.
But the thing is, Gilmore does, and this to sort of help him out a little bit here, because I did have a little bit of time for Happy. On the far wing, he does his gut run that gets him open to take the mark, and it's a great run. But I think he's so cooked
then when he goes to kick the ball, he just turns it over. I was like, oh, bro.
Yeah.
And then he fresh aired it. Oh, bro. And then pushing back like, oh, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Mate, when you consider, all right, fair dogs, the siren does go. But essentially in the last minute and a half of the game, we give up 3 shots on goal when we're up by 7 points. I mean, that is mental, Oz. Mm. Like, I know that like 2 of the shots shouldn't have counted, but I mean, how did they, like, how do you do that?
Have you ever seen a professional game where a coach actually runs down and addresses both players and umpires when the game is not finished?
It was very American to me.
Yeah.
It was very American, but I understand Connolly's, I loved his passion, but his passion was good and he was a salesman for the Dockers. But realistically, his passion and his sales credentials were good,
yep.
But his tactics were bad. And you could maybe even argue, Oz, that this year we excel because Mark Harvey comes in as the assistant. Now,
yes.
I don't think Harvey was that good a head coach, but as an assistant coach, he was very solid.
Yep.
And Matthew Lloyd on Footy Classified said, you know, who was the most underrated assistant coach he had? And he just said, Mark Harvey is the best assistant coach I ever had,
right?
By far. You know, not saying that maybe he didn't have good assistant coaches, but Mark Harvey was a great assistant coach for him and was pretty damn solid for the Dockers as well. You know, and you know what else as well, which is quite interesting, is that you can say, I know I ranted about Schwab and Connolly last time, but Mark Harvey is the first kind of big assistant coach that we got from Victoria. Mm. He had his contract ran up. He had offers all over and he chose to come to the Dockers. I think we made him the highest paid assistant coach. That helps. And there was probably a little bit of a, mate, if he goes, you're in. But, you know, even like that's what we're dealing with to try and get good assistant coaches into the club, you know. And I think that's a thing where you've really got to be, like, we've got to be not spatially aware, but just aware, like, who are the guys who seem like they'll be good coaches and get them across early. You know, like we did with Hale and Guerra, that didn't necessarily work out. But, you know, you've got to get them early, get them in, get them over. Easy peasy, mate.
Yep.
Oz, any other bad that you wanted to talk about in particular? Any things that really had you licking your lips, mate? I haven't mentioned Shawnee Mack, but he had one good play where he pretty much got Pav a goal.
I mean, I noticed that we did our traditional give a ball up. Instead of punching it through, it just sort of bounces and then somehow we fumble it and then someone just runs onto it. Classic Frio.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting as well. Like I said, you know, the G-Train and Revolt go off the ground and they get a spark. I mean, that to me in the history of the game, like when the centre half forward and the full forward who kick majority of their goals go off. Mate, how about this, mate, this Dockery? Only the Dockers could be worse off with a win. Yeah. So our man Tom Fee down at the Dockers wrote a great article. I think I'm pronouncing his last name right. Never actually said it out loud. But he wrote a really great article, guys, and I'll post it up on our socials if you haven't read it already, at Purple Rain 95, on the actual aftermath of everything as well. So it's a really great read what happened during the game. But then the aftermath, and this is the great thing that he comes up with, is that the top six ended up being West Coast, Adelaide, Frio, Sydney, Collingwood, St Kilda, right?
Yep.
If that gets paid a draw rather than a win, the top six goes West Coast, Adelaide, St Kilda, Fremantle. Fremantle finished fourth.
Oh, boy.
They play Fremantle. They play West Coast in the first final. Mm. West Coast actually lost to Sydney, if you remember.
Yeah.
I think in that first final by a couple of points. Now, West Coast were very vulnerable to the Dockers. The Dockers beat them by 5 points in the first derby and then 10 goals in the second derby.
I remember that.
The Carr brothers had it all over Cousins, Kerr and Judd.
Yes.
You know, just the way we played was something that just, they couldn't, the matchup was all in our favour, you know. And in the end, it's, the Eagles end up winning a flag, you know, and you think, well, if this, things have changed, you know. I know it's, you know, you say, you
so
know.
So in that season, where did we finish?
We finished third and we finished third, we go to Adelaide. We are 30 points up at some stage or something like that, or we go out to a bit of a lead. Then in the last quarter, I think we're 4 goals up, but then in the last quarter, it's even, and then they kick away.
Yeah.
We beat Melbourne back here.
Yes, correct.
We go to Sydney, and we lose by about 30 points. Yeah. We're down by 7 points with about a minute to go or 3 or 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. They kick a couple of red time goals, get it out to 20 points now. Yep. Oz, here's a little fast fact for you, mate. I have not watched that Sydney prelim.
Oh, really?
Ever. Never watched it.
Really? Mate. Why is that?
I was stacking shelves, night shift, mate. I had a job. Right. And I was like, oh, man. Got the job. Dockers are 6-6.
Yeah.
Get the job, mate. Dockers ain't going into the finals, mate. They're not playing finals. They're not playing night finals, mate. I even called in sick, chucked a sickie for the Melbourne final, right? Went down the park, kicking the footy with my mates.
Yeah.
Mum and dad are ringing me. Oh, we got tickets from, the farmer family. This one,
yeah. No.
Didn't go to that either, mate.
Oh, boy.
I was like, where are you guys? Anyway. Oh, boy. So would have gone to West Coast, no travel. Connolly ends up getting sacked. Could we maybe want a flag? Grant Thomas gets sacked. Woody, you've got sacked. Does Ross Lyon become the coach of St Kilda? And then the Dockers. Mate, this is just like butterfly effect times a million.
Yes.
But, mate, can we just have a quick chat about Tassie?
Ugh.
Mate, all this talk about Tasmania getting a side, Oz. Now, I know we've watched a lot, and I went down to Launceston and watched the game last year. Tasmania's a lovely place, mate.
Yep.
But until they get a stadium that is enclosed, so it's not blowing a gale.
Yep.
And I know it's old school footy and it's park footy, you know, it's country, it's urban footy. Suburban, sorry, not urban. Mate, but until they get a stadium that is fully enclosed and isn't at the peril of the winds, mate, the games that are down there, when you think back on them, every game that I've watched that's been in Tasmania, and even this game's not that great skilled, the atmosphere's not really there. Yep. You know, like, I'm a massive proponent. Get as many teams out of Victoria as you can.
Yep.
But, mate, Tasmania, nah. I'm out on Tasmania. I'm done with them. I don't want to see us play footy down there. Mm. I don't want to go down there and watch footy. I got nothing to do with Tasmanian footy.
They need a stadium where the elements aren't so drastic.
Yeah. They need like a Telstra Dome in Tasmania.
Mm.
You know, and that would actually help with the cricket as well, to be honest, because, you know, I know they get the odd cricket game, but, you know, the rained out games down there, and it is cold.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, I'm just completely out on Tasmania. I don't want them to get a footy team. I actually don't want Northern Territory either. It's too slippery up there.
Mm.
Just less teams. You know, it would have been good if, like, this thing just, like, wiped out a couple of teams.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, I was like, I'm just over Tassie, man. I'm sick that we always have to go there.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of the, like...
Well, at least it's not Hawthorn every year anymore.
Well, mate, just the stadium is crap, and it's just like the elements become so involved that it's no good for footy.
No.
It's not good for good footy that you want to watch, mate. Mate, do you want to do the mixed teams quickly?
Yeah, let's go mixed teams.
All right, my mixed team, or do you want to go first?
Yeah, you go.
I've got Hamlin, Grover, Luke Mack, Scotty T, MJ, Black, Shama, Josh Carr, Stephen Hill, Desi Headland, Lob, and Cookie, Wiz Pav, Sonny, Sandy Bell, Fife, Mundy, Ryan, Brayshaw, and Mundy. So I've got old Mundy and new young Mundy.
Oh.
I've got double Mundy, mate.
Nice. Okay, back line, I've got Duffield, Hamlin, Grover, then I've got Wilson, Johnson, Logue. I've got to try and throw in some newbies. Hill, Fife, and Headland. Half forward, Walters, Pavlich, Mundy. Forwards, Farmer, Lob, and Hogan. See him back at training, mate. Let's get aroused by that.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Followers, Sandilands, Carr, that J variety, and P Bell. And interchange, Ryan Conker, because I think he would suit the scrappy conditions, and Black.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, mate, let's go to break. When we come back, guys, we've got the 2006 season summary. Come on! Welcome back to episode 7 of the Redockables. Looking at Siren Gates this week. Probably the most dockery game in the history of the Dockers in terms of what happened, how it would unfold, what would end up happening. But, Oz, let's get into the 2006 season, mate. At the time, best to date. We end up finishing third, 15-7. We go from 6-6 in round 12 on a 9-0 run to finish third. Pardon me. That can't be right. 9-0. Yeah, 9-0. We must go 6-7.
Oh, boy.
Must win the last 9 games, I'm pretty sure. Mate, Doig, Pav, Bell, MJ. in his second season. Parker, sniffing around still. Josh Carr, Sandy 6th, Wizard 7th. Wizard can't get off that 7th, mate.
You can't.
Mundy and Dodd equal 8th, and Luke Mack and MCAR equal 10th. Beacon Award, Marcus Drum. Remember that guy?
I remember Marcus.
Marcus Drum, one of the great Beacon Awards, mate. And if the Beacon Award isn't a sign of how interesting we are at judging talent, mate, I don't know what is. Best Clubman, Luke Webster.
Yeah, Webbers. Webbers.
Goals, kicking, Pavlich wins with 71. The Wizard gets 55.
Yep.
All Australians, mate. How many All Australians reckon we had that year? We finished third.
Yep.
We win 9 games in a row at the end of the season. How many All Australians?
One.
Yeah, Pav. Just Pav. One. Pav. Mate, we obviously, as I've put down here, the lost flag.
This is the season, Duck, that I thought we were going to win. Because we had such momentum going into the finals.
Yeah.
Again, Wiz and Co. just confirmed that.
Yeah. And, I mean, in the end, mate, we get hit by a stinker of a game in Adelaide where the conditions are pretty abhorrent and they run over the top of us. Bit of inexperience there. But, you know, ifs and buts, mate. Can I read out the preliminary, the side that took the field in the preliminary final, mate, in Sydney. The game that I've never watched.
You got to watch it.
Mate, if I could find it, I would watch it.
If we had taken our opportunities early, because we were running hot early, I thought anyway.
In no particular order, mate. Well, I've tried to put the team in where I think they would have played.
Yeah.
Hayden, Parker, Luke Mack, Mundy, MJ, Black. That's our back six, mate.
That's pretty good.
Peak, Cook, Shammer. Pretty solid. Crowley, Pav, Headland.
Oh, boy.
Wiz, J-Lo, Murphy of the Ryan variety. Sandy Bell, Josh Carr. And then on the bench, Webster, Shawnee Mack, Matthew Carr, and Stephen Dodd. Mate, that's a pretty solid side.
That's a solid side.
Mate, that's got, like, if you're thinking about, okay, we've got 1, 2, 3. Did Hayden made the 25 and 25, didn't he?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, 11, 12, 12 of the 25 and 25. Mate, it's actually arguable that Shammer was unlucky to miss out on the 25 and 25, man.
Yeah. He was a solid player.
Black? Hate Black as well.
If you put, you know, I hate talking about generation v generation because it never works, but if you put that team up against the grand final team of 2013.
Yeah, man. The problem is, Oz, who wins that game between a Ross Lyon coach 2013 side versus Chris Conlicker? Well, now, if they flip the coaches, mate, it is no contest. No. This team with Ross Lyon,
oh boy,
a bit of defensive backbone. You know, we've got these great defenders in our team.
Yeah.
Half of them end up playing forward. You know, it's just interesting, isn't it? Because, like, even if you look during that time, there's no Polak playing in this game. Grover must have been injured.
Yep.
No Grover. No Hazelby.
Yep.
I think he might have been injured. You know, so that's three really good players to come in, you know, that, well, maybe not so much Polak, but three players.
Yeah.
Two players that come in and maybe take, you know, J-Lo said he was on one knee.
Yeah.
You know, talking about that in the game, you know, like if you look at.
But are you telling
me? I've got the book here, mate, and I've got the list of players.
Ross Lyon coaching Roger Hayden wouldn't be an All-Australian.
Now, Oz. Would have Ross Lyon been coaching Sydney at the time? He would have, wouldn't he?
He would have been assistant coach, yeah.
Yes. So we were going against Roscoe, mate. See, that's the thing. Mate, these are the guys who played, all right? Matthew Carr, Dodd, Johnson, Mundy, Parker, Pavlich, Black, Shammer, Bell, Carr, Farmer, McManus, McFarlane, Sandilands, Headlands, Pete, Crowley, Hazelby. Hazelby played 19 games. He must have got injured towards the end of the season.
We didn't play, obviously, this game.
Yeah. Longmuir, Cook, Grover, Medhurst, Murphy, Polak, Gilmore, Webster, Walker, Duffield, Drum, Thornton, Schofield, Campbell, Hadrill, and Warren.
Hang on a second. No, Medhurst in this, obviously, in this game.
No, Medhurst, I don't know if he got injured, but he didn't. I had a look up, because this is the last season he plays for the Dockers.
Yes.
And he played a couple of real average games. Yes. Didn't get any kicks. He's too big, mate. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
He got too big, mate. Eating too many cakes and pumping too many weights, mate. But look, I mean, I just look at that 06 side, don't you? And you just go. And you know what the sad thing is as well, Oz? In 07, we finished like 11th.
Yeah.
And it's just terrible, man. And it's like they say in the book, they're like, oh, they're up by 22 points against Port Adelaide, playing brilliantly in the first game. They're the premiership favourites, you know, everyone's on the Dockers, and then they lose the game. It's just like, oh, man. And Connolly ends up getting or resigning or getting sacked or whatever, and Harvey takes over at the end of the year, and then they go 14th, and then they bounce back up. But it's like, man, you look at some of those guys, and they're in their prime. Pavlich in his prime, mate.
He looked like he could have kicked 10 that day.
Pavlich in his prime keeps Connolly in a job.
Yes.
He's a one-man keeper in the job, man. Like, yes. He's keeping that guy in a job. Now, yes. This is why I think, Oz, we need to sometimes understand how good Pavlich was.
Yep.
And, like, even though Fifey's been a dual Brownlow medalist, I still can't see anyone taking over Pavlich. Because when you watch these games, you're like, man, he's got a good side, all right. But he's just absolutely killing this game.
Yep.
You know, it just maybe happened that they were two really good games. But, yeah, mate, that's the 06 season, mate. I don't know what we do now. We do the music quiz. But in terms of the games that we watch next, mate, do you want to – I think we might skip ahead to like a
– Don't say the grand final of 2013, mate.
No, because we were only going to do that if we didn't watch if we didn't have a grand final this year. Good. We're doing it on the – if there is no grand final this year, we're doing it on grand final day.
Are you kidding me?
Okay. That's the rule, mate. We've got to watch it. But I think we might skip ahead to like 2010.
Okay.
See if I can find a game there to put up. And it'll be on our socials, guys. So at PurpleRain95 on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook if you want to follow us. And also, if you're on Big Footy, there's a thread called the Redockable Podcast. And it's great feedback on there, man. Like, two guys were having a chat and they're kind of going a little bit at each other, but they're actually really praising us a lot as well. So I'm like, oh, man, stop arguing, guys. It's like... Like your two friends are arguing or something. But music quiz, Oz.
Here we go.
Give me a pen because I want to see if I can get six from six.
Mate, some of these are obscure.
Okay. You know, 06, mate, that's right in my wheelhouse. This is your wheelhouse. This is me first.
You are coming right up, mate. Yep.
What are you doing in 06?
Hang on. So I'd made my transition from my previous school to TC.
Yeah.
And at the end of this year, I took the first Trinity basketball team over to the US.
Yeah.
And we ended up winning the Blackwood in 2007, yeah. 8, 9. So we go on a 3-4 year tear.
Oh.
Ended up, yep. Nice. So it's pretty good. The kids did very well.
Good stuff.
They did well.
First year uni for me at UWA.
Oh, yep.
Fell in love with the uni footy club, mate.
Oh.
Loved it.
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Number 10, 2006, Triple J, hottest 100, goes a little something like this. Got to wait for it to load. It takes a little bit of time here. Can't hear. Why can't you hear this? Here we go. Okay. You all right? Next one. Okay, number 8.
This is that old, this song.
Yeah. Number 7.
Oh, what?
This is a good concert. Here's with Dome. We'll do it all. Number 6. Okay, here we go. Number 5. I can't remember if these guys made a FIFA soundtrack, but it was around the same point. The next song definitely did. I'll play this one a little longer so you can...
I have no idea.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I had to play a little longer. Yeah, here we go. All right, next one. You got that? All right, next one here. Number 3.
Oh, mate.
Going down. Oh, mate, classic. Actually regret not seeing these guys live anyway. Number two.
Oh, fans of Dockers
the Free.
Boys.
Yes. Yeah. Good fans of the Fremantle Football Club. Shout out to the bro. Used to work at the store DJ down in Cannington, but they've shut down. I don't know what I'm going to do, mate.
Store DJ's done, mate.
Done.
Oh,
God. And number one.
Oh, yeah, this is a banger. Yeah.
Classic.
Argue that these guys are one-hit wonders. It's a really good song.
Yeah. I got a couple. They got a couple. All right, okay, here we go. So, Duck, can you name them starting with number 10?
All right, number 10, I reckon, is The Greats, 1920.
Yep, correct.
Number nine is Muse. Is it called My Life?
No, Starlight.
Starlight. Heart's a Mess, Gautier.
Gautier, number 8.
Chasing Cars by, what are they called?
Snow Patrol.
All right, mate, can I tell a Snow Patrol story just quickly? So, guys, believe it or not, I went to this festival called the Cheltenham V Festival, right? I don't know if I've told this story on air before. And there was the Cheltenham V Festival and Leeds V Festival. Now, the headliners for Friday would play, or like Friday, Saturday, they'd just flip.
Yeah.
One plays on Friday, one plays on Saturday, they flip.
Gotcha.
On the Friday night at Leeds, Oasis played their last ever gig and they didn't come to Cheltenham on the Saturday.
That's right.
They broke up.
That's right. That they night, did that night. They did, yeah.
Broke up, so didn't get to see them. Shout out to Gussie and Franco and KD,
yeah,
who I went with. And they said, we lost the Ashes that day. We went into Cheltenham, watched the end of the Ashes, lost that, came back in, and this guy, when we were next to the bus, this old homeless bloke was like, Oasis ain't coming. And we were like, whatever, mate. Got there. Oasis, nah. And they're like, in their place, Snow Patrol will play an extended set. Do you think there was a cheer? One single clap? Mate, the boos rang out. They rang out.
Oasis,
but I saw,
were hot to trot.
Mate, who did I see there? I saw Pete Doherty and Amy Winehouse came on the stage and pushed her off stage. She was cooked. I saw Razorlight. They killed it. I saw Taylor Swift.
And Tay-Tay.
Taylor Swift was there and they said she was the highest. She'd sold the most albums over the last 2 years. She was just like, she was just coming up. All country albums, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I watched a little bit of Taylor Swift. I watched Human League.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Read for.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched The Streets.
Oh.
I watched this band called Alphabet, Danish band. Oh, my God. So they were playing before Pete Doherty.
Yeah.
And I was like, who are this band? Like, I'm so pumped.
Yeah.
And then Pete Doherty or Doherty, whatever you want to call him, comes out and is like, nah.
Yeah.
Mate, I saw Pete Doherty play in Cardiff, in the baby shambles, and halfway through the gig, everyone had to leave because there was a fire in the back of the thing, and everyone thought like that he just chucked it in because he's a mad bastard.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone was like, oh man, he's just quit. And they're like, no, there's a fire in the back, and the fire engine came and like put out this fire in one of the back rooms that wasn't even like, was just a part of the place that the gig was at, and everyone went back in. It was happy days.
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah, he loved it. Anyway.
Oh, what was that? That was number seven.
Sorry, number six.
Yeah, so, number six.
It's CeeLo Green and Danger Mouse. It's crazy, but I don't know what the name of the band was called.
Gnarls Barkley.
Gnarls Barkley, damn.
Yeah.
Number five is Scissor Sisters.
Yes.
I Don't Feel Like Dancing.
Correct.
Killers, number four.
Correct. When You Were Young.
Yeah, put When You Were Young as well. Yeah. Mate, did you watch them when they came and played? Mate, they were great.
I can't remember seeing Killers,
man,
actually.
Mate, next time they come to Australia, Brendan Flowers is probably, I've seen the three best frontmen I've ever seen, Brendan Flowers, obviously Mick Jagger, and Howlin', I think his name's Howlin' Blomqvist, whatever his name is, the lead singer of The Hives is just...
Yeah, The Hives are good.
Unbelievable. Yeah. No one else is close, mate. They're my top three, in my opinion. Any frontman that you like?
Mate, I've seen so many. Okay, look, off the top of my head, Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
Bono. Yeah.
Bono's saying, yeah. Bono's like, yeah.
No.
Bono's like,
man.
Yeah.
That's what Bono thought, ironically, I thought The Darkness at Metros was very good.
You like
Bill
that.
Jamison was good for Grinspoon. Oh man, I've seen.
I saw Grinspoon once, but Jamison was just.
It was already cooked. Face. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know he's come out of that.
Mine was when I saw him at Metros in the city, it was the Pushing Buttons LP. So Black Friday just been released. So they're just entering their peak. So yeah. Just after Better Guide to Living.
Yeah.
And that was an epic. That was epic, that gig. Look, Placebo was good.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, I'm not going to end up just naming all these bands. Don't need to. All right, number three.
Hilltop Hoods.
Correct, A Hard Road. Number hard two. Road.
It's Eskimo Joe.
Black fingernails, yeah. Red
not a
wine.
Massive Eskimo Joe fan, to be honest.
They weren't bad.
They had that one.
Yeah.
And the last one, One Crowded Hour by Augie March. That is an absolute banger, mate. Correct. That's a banger. All right, Oz, on that note, it's been a long one this week, mate. We've had a couple of rants. We've talked about a few things, guys. Thank you very much for listening. And remember, at PurpleRain95, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Keep listening, guys. We'll do a couple more weeks of redockables, then we'll have a week off before the season starts proper. What do you reckon, Oz?
Yeah, sounds good, mate.
Sounds good.
All right, love yous all.